Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome to the program, everybody. Hour two of the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday morning, September the 12th, 2019. I am in beast mode, wearing my 22 fresh hoodie this morning. Bunny hug for those of you that are watching within the 306 today. Mike Abou-Meshrick with me here in hour two. I thought we were going to have Darren DuPont with us in hour two. We do not. Maybe it's later on. If not, that's fine. The overtime segment for sure. Just for those that have just maybe tuned into the podcast and missed hour one, we covered a lot of things. Not a ton about Antonio Brown, a little bit. A lot of CFL talk, of course, because it is September. Abu gave his thoughts on the Edmonton Eskimos and their implosion.
And the cheating Patriots.
Yeah, you gave more than I'd asked on the New England Patriots.
I think you just asked how my day was.
We didn't even have a video guest last hour, but we will this hour. As I mentioned, Marshall Hamilton, voice of the Tiger Cats, coming up. And also Bill Chow, president of the SJHL. I said George. I started to say George Larocque. George Larocque was supposed to join us from Montreal live in the program, but he has now rescheduled the interview to 3 p.m. Eastern once we're off the air. So that's a little later on. We're recognizing number 72s for episode number 72. There's a lot of great 72s. And quite frankly, if you want to get right down to it, the 72 Dolphins, that's the team everybody still talks about, right? The 72 Dolphins.
So if you're making that wall and there's only one jersey that you can retire,
I might
with
put a
72
Dolphins
on it. You're putting a Dolphins 72, not a Van 72.
Cleveland Van would be the other. It would be a
refrigerator Perry.
Not refrigerator Perry. I don't, for some reason, like the Chicago Bears at all. There's nothing about them that I like. 72s, Mean Joe Green.
Yep, there's one.
Colin Scrivener, as we mentioned earlier. You mentioned the fridge.
Glenn Scrivener.
I think, did Glenn wear 72 with the Bombers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Carlton Fisk.
Was he 72?
Apparently, according to USA Today. And Dan Dierdorf, which many of you won't know Dan Dierdorf. Yeah. You will, because you're old enough.
Yeah.
You have a little gray at your temples.
A little bit.
St. Louis Cardinals, great. Monday Night Football.
He's more known for
Monday Night Football
by me and people of our generation from being a broadcaster.
Yes, but he's still
a
big
offensive
deal.
Lineman, though. No one likes offensive linemen.
He owns one of the greatest steakhouses I've ever been in, Dierdorf and Hart in St. Louis, Missouri, right downtown St. Louis.
What kind of steak is it? What, like
big, thick, fat steaks?
Peanuts on the floor, or
no, classy with the brass rails, not the brass rail, brass rails.
That's in Toronto, not Montreal.
Right, we were talking about Montreal.
Maybe.
Somebody wrote in last hour and said they're on their way from small town Saskatchewan to Montreal. What do they need to do to fit in?
Find
and
George Larocque.
We kind of got derailed. Josh Lewis is watching from, is it Newfoundland this morning? Josh Lewis. He says 72, Bobrovsky. Which Bobrovsky? Sergei Bobrovsky? Aren't they several Bobrovskys? Sergei.
Yeah, Zabrovsky. I thought Mean Joe Green was 75.
Listen, it said Mean Joe Green. I'll send you the link. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith's arguing with our numbers from his couch this morning watching the program. Oh, and by the way, just if I may, we had a lot of talk last hour about our poll question today. And that is the greed of the players turning you off the NHL? for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center? Is player's greed turning you off the NHL? Because for me, it is. And we had a scout from an NHL team text us last hour. That's what made me jog in my mind to bring it up again. Because his is one of these teams. Mitch Marner with the Leafs, Patrick Laine with the Jets, Brock Besser with the Canucks. Those are the big ones. Those are the ones we're hearing all about because they're all Canadian teams. So we're getting that pounded down our throat every day on the networks. And I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about hockey, not holdouts. It's turning me off. 63.2% of you agree. Yes, it's turning you off, the NHL. 36.8% say no. That's on our Twitter poll, rodpeterson.com, and our Facebook poll.
I can't see you not watching the NHL this year because Mitch Marner's not signing, though. It's the name on the front of the jersey, Rod, not the name on the back of the jersey. And it's day one.
Of camp. Well, these guys aren't there. You're not. That's the point.
Yeah, so I'm not even thinking about hockey yet, so I can't get turned off of it. I hear what you're saying.
For those that don't know, we'll say it again. Mike Abelmesher grew up in downtown Toronto, a 5-minute bike ride from Maple Leaf Gardens.
Maybe seven.
Maybe a 7-minute pedal bike ride to Maple Leaf Gardens. How closely do you follow the Leafs?
I was watching Leafs Lunch this morning and same thing. I wanted to know what, Leafs Lunch this morning, I guess. How's Morgan Rylan doing?
None of that.
Well, they're interviewing him, but they're talking about Mitch Marner. And he's, that's why I said Morgan Rylan just said, I got to worry about my game. I don't care about anyone else. They're going to do their thing, and that's the way it should be. For the team, I hope it's not that big of a distraction. I mean, they had Nylander last year but doing the same thing. So
right, and by the way, because people were comparing the CFL to these NHL numbers and NFL numbers, it is a little different. Certainly, lop a zero off is a big part of it. But then what did Willie Nylander do? I think he had one goal in his next 35 games after they signed
him. He wasn't part of the team.
Well, usually when there's a holdout, people expect miracles, and they deserve them, actually, because the guy wanted all this money. Now you got it, and then so it's a big year for Nylander. Marner's not even playing, and I'd rather be talking about the games. And you're right. Eventually, they'll take to the ice with them or without them, and we will be watching. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to read a Darren Dreger report. I'm trying to read The Athletic, and all it is about 7 years, 8 years, deferring money, this, that. That's where you lose me.
Well they're talking.
That's about, where you lose me.
They're talking about the Leaf backup goalie situation, and they're like, well, we got a couple new guys that are going through it. They're going to work hard. I'm like, what are their names? Can you just give me a name? Who are they? Something. I have no idea. I know they got a big backup goalie decision to make, but
with the Leafs.
Yeah.
A guy that'll never play.
But who they are, I have no idea.
So a couple more. Nelson Hakowich watching this morning, and he says that Mean Joe Green wore 72 in his rookie year.
Yeah.
So he became famous in 75, but he wore 72 in his rookie year. So there's one. Conrad says, then why are we focusing on those names on the back who aren't there? Because that's the poll question. Conrad, you're becoming a pain in my ass this morning. We're talking about it because that's our poll question today. Is it turning you off the NHL? So I'd like to, I tune in for the coverage of the players that are there, and I'm not getting it. That's the point. They're talking about Marner, Laine, and Besser, and they're not in camp. That is the point. Follow along.
But it's nice that there's hockey on SportsCenter on a Wednesday and not baseball.
I'm afraid baseball's a little.
Oh my goodness! I even stopped watching SportsCenter this summer because it's just baseball highlights.
I know, right?
So it's kind of nice that they're talking about something, I guess. Like I was watching Leafs Lunch again. So I guess to answer your question, no, it's starting to turn me onto it because I watched it for.
Yes and no. That's why I always thought this program right here would fill a void in the Canadian sports broadcasting landscape because right now, they're replaying SportsCenter 12 consecutive times on TSN and Sportsnet connected too. Here we're talking about the day's issues. And that's why and how I think we're growing. Now, by the way, to tie that into what we're talking about earlier, guy wrote in a kid, Hunter, from class in high school. And he wondered if the Bombers would re-sign Chris Streveler. It's a little different in the CFL where guys change teams for 10 grand. And like the NHL players will bet 10 grand on one golf hole. But CFL players, it's the difference between signing somewhere or else. It's apples and oranges. And I get it.
Absolutely. And what we said about Streveler was I think he probably will go to a different team. He's had some success. Every time he started, he's won or put them in a a chance to win a game, but I don't think he's a starting quarterback. Someone's going to pay him because you need a quarterback, and well, look at these numbers. But I don't think he's a starting quarterback. He's a guy that can come in and win a couple games, hand the ball off, throw some. But he's, yeah, I don't.
You
I
know,
don't
and that's, by the way, I'd love to get an offensive coordinator in here and talk about it. Maybe one day we will. Or maybe our director of scouting, Craig Smith, who's watching this morning, maybe one day he can come in and talk about it because he coached in the CFL as well and won a Grey Cup with the 2000 BC Lions. But when you got a quarterback like Chris Streveler, where I think Paul Lapolice has to pull down his thinking cap all week and come up with some creative device.
I think he loves
device
it.
Of what? Well, that's what's fun about coaching.
Yeah.
Yes. But you shouldn't have to do that. Don't you want that quarterback that's just going to sit back in the pocket and bing, 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 execute, find the open guy, no problem. Streveler is not that.
No, but talking about Lapo, I mean, we kind of talked about John Ryan like this. The game's so easy for him. He can do whatever he wants. Lapo's such a good offensive coordinator that when he has weapons, I mean, he can do it. But when he doesn't have weapons, now he's got to, you know, turn it on. And, you know, if you're playing a five-year-old in basketball, you might bounce it off the roof before it goes in the net. Well, when you play an adult, now it's got to go right in the hoop, and that's what Lapo's doing. He's really honing in on not picking his plays to suit a certain player and take advantage of their skills, but just taking X's and O's and saying this is what's going to work. Lapo's earning every dollar he makes in the off season. You know, he's. We're going to talk about, you're going to be wanting to talk about players being free agents in the offseason and signing for big money. Lapo can write his own check.
Actually, he can't.
What?
Funny you say that. Well, Riders wanted to talk to him about being their head coach, and the president over there, Wade Miller, would not allow him to interview for the job. Same situation in Ottawa, where they wouldn't let Jamie Elizondo interview here, and he was so mad he left.
But
he
went to the XFL. But that was well into the offseason. I mean,
what's well into? In the case of Lapolice, it was late January. For both cases, it was late January.
It was right around the draft?
Just before. No. Draft wasn't until May.
Sorry, free agency.
It was right before free agency. But are you going to sign somewhere based on the offensive coordinator? Some guys will. Some guys won't. So, yes, I believe Paul Lapolice should be able to write his own ticket. But he can't. At least not within.
So you think people should have to actually, when you sign a contract, you should have to like actually honor it and work all the way to the end of the deal?
What if it's a promotion?
Huh?
What if it's a promotion?
So if you sign a contract, you expect people to work all the way to the end of it? I'm sure the promotion's worked in.
CFL teams clearly do.
Yeah, well, most, I don't know Lapo's contract, but most of them are if you can go to pursue a promotion. So if there's a head coaching job on the table, I'm sure he can go and pursue it.
They wouldn't let him do it. That's the point.
In February, you say it's January, I say it's February, potato, tomato. I think there needs to be a deadline. December 31st.
There isn't.
There needs to be. December 31st. If you want to go to a different team, you have until December 31st to ask permission and all that. You don't have to have, maybe you don't have everything X's and O's handed out, but if asking permission should be December 31st. Because on January
1st. But it's not in their contracts now. That's the whole point. So I think everybody can agree, and that's probably an amendment you'll see this offseason.
But there will be in his contract that if you get a job, if you get a promotion, you have to be able to go there. It's just the season already started. I get it.
You're arguing against yourself. Paul Lapolice had a contract in place with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He was asked to come interview with the Rough Riders in late January, and he was not allowed to do it. There is no window. There is no deadline. There isn't one currently. He just wasn't allowed to do it, and he's ticked off about it. Wasn't any secret about it. TSN was reporting that. So what are you saying? He should be able to come interview for a promotion from an OC job to a head coach job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which is going to double his wage.
100%.
And he owns a house here. So who's wrong here?
No one needs to be wrong. We have opinions. And I think...
Fair enough.
I think you're wrong. But that's still my opinion. The situation's very different. If you ask for permission in November, in December to talk to someone, I think he's going to get it. If you ask for permission in February when you already have your draft set and this is what we're doing and you've already put it together, it's a very, very different situation.
You're confusing the terms free agency and draft for one. And I'm not sure.
I did that again.
I don't know that you're basing your free agency based on who your coordinators are. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. Ottawa right now is blaming their 3-8 record on their offensive coordinator leaving to go to the XFL. And I think that's categorically wrong to do. We will break. Lisa makes a very good point here. She says, the whole loyalty to teams thing, NHL, CFL, or otherwise, is not what it once was. Whatever happened to starting and finishing a career with a team? Schultz, provided the talent remains, why not keep consistency? Old school, I'm afraid. Well, this is what the world's become in sports, and I would suggest that sports is very much just a microcosm of life, wouldn't you? You have to do what's best for you, period.
Why is that a one-way street, Lisa? Why does the player have to bow down to the employer? I don't know. Well, yeah. All right. If someone across the street offered you more money to do the exact same thing or more money for you and your family, wouldn't you go work there across the street? I get it. I wanted to play for the same team forever, but, loyalty is a two-way street. You cannot be blindly loyal to a team because you're not going to get better in your 10th and 11th and 12th year. But then the team just is going to drop you for
a
younger guy. You know that's what's going to come.
Players, we're talking more about staff here. But I believe, she was talking about players, so you're right. Well, Scott Schultz did what was best for him. There was a business opportunity where Scott was told, if this comes to fruition during the season, you're going to have to retire and come run this company. And that's exactly what happened. He did what was best for him. And ticked a lot of people off in the process. But guess what? He doesn't care. You have to do what's best for you. It never used to be that way.
Well, free agency is different.
One for all. Doesn't exist anymore. So Paul LaPolice, what was best for him? Coming to Saskatchewan, taking over a great franchise as head coach. More money. He had a house here. It was better for Paul to come here, but it was better for Wade Miller to keep him in Winnipeg. So he's doing what's best for him. That's the phrase. Those signs on the wall that say all for one for all should be taken down. And what should be put up is do what's best for you.
This is the year Winnipeg. This is the year Winnipeg needs to run for the cup. They're not going to let Lapo go because at the last minute. But Mark Atherton says it right there. Salary caps ended the players sticking with one team for their whole career. As soon as salary caps and the new way of free agency in every league, it pretty much abolished a player being drafted by a team and ending their career there.
Salary caps did?
Well, salary caps, free agency. Yeah, you can't pay a guy whatever he needs. You know?
That's wrong. Dan Clark's been here his entire career.
He's from here, yeah. It's a lot cheaper.
So it's choice, and that's never changed.
So...
You're saying salary caps ended, guys staying somewhere for their whole career.
So if one team has $50,000 or $80,000 to pay you, and that's all they can pay you, but another team has $160,000 to pay you, you say, you know what? I'm going to stick with this $80,000. And you know what? I'm from Toronto, but it's okay because I'll pay rent for $80,000. I don't even want to finish this thought because it's just preposterous. Of course you can do this. If the one team can only pay you so much and another team can pay you double, you're going to go to that other team unless you're from that place and there's other circumstances.
Mark says not all players will do that, and he's right. It's a case-by-case scenario. And lastly, Wayne, just before we break, Wayne in Victoria says, why was Chris Jones allowed to leave, but LaPolice was not allowed to interview here? Hang on. We'll talk about that after the break. Also coming up, Marshall Ferguson, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and Bill Chow, the president of the SJHL. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Thursday morning, rodpeterson.com, Facebook Live, and catch our podcasts at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Canada-wide clearance has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. That means for a limited time, our entire inventory of new vehicles have clear-o prices to move. This brand new 2019 GMC Sierra double cab is just $39,894 plus tax. That's only $225 bi-weekly. We have over 200 SUVs to clear out. This new 2019 GMC Terrain SLE has a clear-o price of only $34,623 plus tax. That's just $99 a week and is all-wheel drive with heated seats and navigation. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-4444. 2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thursday morning, Rod Peterson Show, September the 12th, episode number 72. On the way, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Marshall Ferguson. They're going to Calgary this week for a Week 14 matchup. Sports update by Connor the intern. Jordan Williams-Lambert will not play versus the Alouettes. He needs to relearn the playbook, said head coach Craig Dickinson. He will most likely start versus the Argos on September the 28th. Canada West football on Friday. The Alberta Golden Bears are home to the Manitoba Bisons. Also Friday, the Rams home to the Saskatchewan Huskies. And the Rams homecoming game in the game that we've nicknamed the Wheat Bowl. And we'll see you all there. Again, it doesn't get bigger in university regular season football than this. What a great football weekend. Rams Huskies Friday, Riders Alouettes Saturday. The Wheat Bowl.
Oh, I get it.
Wheat Bowl. Saturday, UBC will play host to the Calgary Dinos. T-Birds looking for their first win. The Ottawa Senators have picked three alternate captains. Defenseman Mark Borowiecki and Ron Hainsey and forward Jean-Gabriel Peugeot will wear A's for the Sens this season. Ottawa will not have a captain, just like the Leafs.
Until Marner signed. Then
and
Austin
week two
will.
Of the NFL season kicks off tonight in Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers play host to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Thursday nighter. Both NFC South teams are coming off losses in their openers. 6:20 kickoff on NBC. Sports update written by Connor the intern, brought to you by Baller's Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Why are people running around out here looking at you?
Because my thingy fell off.
Okay, we got to get something sticky on those.
What? Do you think they fly from Carolina to Tampa? That's what, like a 4-hour drive?
Yeah, I would think they would fly. It's the NFL, man.
Well, it probably takes...
That's why they call it the Not For Long League, because the flights aren't that long.
Yeah, probably faster to drive, though.
Not for long.
The trophy, the Banjo Bowl trophy. And I'm not against this, but I like just knowing what I'm up against. So that trophy that they have for the Banjo Bowl is only when the Bombers win it, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Riders don't get to take it home and be like, yeah, we won. I think that's how it goes. Because I've never, ever seen... I don't know if the Riders have won, but...
They've won. There's been 16
they've
of
won.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've won seven times.
Well, I mean, since the trophy's been around. I think they have won once, and that's why...
Since the actual trophy? Last year.
Right.
Because I remember Willie Jefferson winning it last year with the Riders, and him saying, tweeting, actually, we win the Banjo Bowl, but we don't get the trophy? How that?
Yeah, they didn't. Okay, I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought I just noticed it, yeah.
Willie's in Jamaica right now, by the way. Check out his Instagram. I was actually showing my wife last night Willie's Instagram post of his wife and his little baby girl. She looks exactly like Willie, yet cute little girl.
Except baby.
She's like two.
Funny how that works.
So cute. Enjoying the bye in Jamaica, man. Willie Jefferson. Regarding the Wheat Bowl tomorrow night, which, by the way, the teams have not endorsed. We've just come up with that name ourselves here. Sean says, do we need a trophy made now? Yes, we do. Can you facilitate that? I would love to see them hand out the Wheat Bowl at the end of the game. I'll hand it out.
Does each team
Friday
get
night
it,
at Mosaic Stadium?
Is it just like a Regina Ram trophy?
It's like, no. It's like all the legendary college.
Like the big
rivalry games.
Big bell. Yeah.
Well, the Iron Bowl is the one that they're all talking about. It's this weekend, is it not?
Yeah. Schultz has
in Alabama
one too. In North Dakota.
Oh yeah. NDSU, UND have one.
Yeah.
Somebody want to tell us what that is? So ours is the Wheat Bowl. It's inexplicable that we haven't had a name yet.
How come there's not? How come this isn't a thing? Let's get.
I know that.
Let's do it. Let's make a trophy.
Back to the Chris Jones thing, because everybody's. Before we go any further, before this slips off the wall, from Kerry Hallett, can't you Rider fans just get over it already? Lapo wasn't even given permission to talk to you guys. Get over what? I don't. I thought he meant, can we just get over Chris Jones leaving? Maybe he's saying, can you not get over Paul Lapalusse being hired? Are you one of those guys, because you and I get in these religious fights and discussions and karma and stuff. I think deep down you do agree with me, but you just like to fight with me. Do you believe everything happens for a reason like I do?
It does.
You do believe that?
Yes.
So
that
do
is
I.
A great mystery that we don't know.
Right. So Lapalusse doesn't get permission to interview here, and it ticks him off because he wants to coach here. Wants to make the money, wants to be in charge. What's so wrong with that?
You know, I feel like this is what you said. You're looking to, people look to place blame on people and be like, you're the bad guy and you suck. And
all
you
the time.
And you didn't let him go here and you let him leave. He left us. And so that's just the way it is. Like if the NFL comes, if your childhood dream comes knocking and offers you an opportunity, that's all we ask for in life is an opportunity. And so the NFL came knocking. Here's your opportunity. Yes, please.
For Jones.
Less money and less.
Don't matter.
Well, if I could be a fireman, I mean, you know, that's what I wanted to be growing up. I mean, that'd be pretty damn cool. I'd do it, and it doesn't matter what the money is. You know?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. I miss Chris Jones. In his 3 years here, we've got to have not only a friendship, but a lot of mutual friends. So everywhere he goes now in the NFL, he's got friends in all these cities, and they're taking photos of him, and he's in the Browns gear. And I'm like, I kind of miss that guy. I like Chris Jones.
Do you think he's having more fun running the best team in the CFL or best franchise in the CFL and you know, playing Xbox, you know, control, buy, sell, you know, trade, doing the, or do you think he's having more fun getting coffee and breaking down plays on his cot in his office?
I think I've thought about this.
There's no way.
So what... What Abu is saying, to just break that down in English, would Chris Jones be having more money, making way more, or having more fun, making more money here with Saskatchewan, way more money, or being in the NFL at an entry level job, which it is, for a lot less money, working his tail off? And I've thought that every single morning Chris Jones pulls up to that stadium in Cleveland with his coffee, and he can't believe his good fortune.
Some people love
that he's working in the National Football League.
And if you're doing that, I've told you often, I don't coach because I don't like entering a building at 4 a.m. and leaving it at 1 a.m.
Which is what he did here.
But he loves it. Some people love it. Etch is one of the best coaches I know. And I don't know. The only time I ever saw him outside of his building, outside of the cot that he slept on, was when he was in the club at the back, you know, creeping on guys.
Undoing me.
And he wasn't watching guys either. But, like, that's what it takes to be a coach. And that's why I never want anyone that I care for to be a coach, because it drains. To do it well, you have to give it all. And some people are willing to do that. Lapo, Jones.
And by the way, for Chris Jones, it's not about money. We've had these discussions. I mean, actually, one night in Ottawa, Luke and I were in probably one of my favorite restaurants in the country, the Shore Club in the Westin in Ottawa. You know where it is because it's been there for a long time. Yeah. And Chris Jones came and sat down with us and said, do you mind if I join you guys? And we're like, please do. And he talked about, I think most of the money he makes, he gives away. It's not about money.
To who? I never got
to
it.
Who? He employs
no, you don't have to say.
People in his hometown of South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Down on their luck people.
Sure.
He gives away most of his money.
Don't
it's not
to.
About money.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, when you realize that in life, you'll probably make more money. He's chasing a dream.
Yeah, that's what people with money say.
And he's got it.
Yeah.
And so you agree with me. Chris Jones is happier where he is than, of course, because up here they had handcuffs on him. Every loophole that Chris Jones found, the CFL was quick to close it.
Yeah.
And shut it down. Do you think that's fun?
No, he wasn't breaking the rules like the Patriots. He was following the rules, and then they said, "You're following it too closely."
I don't know what
shut
they
that
were
down.
Doing.
What do you mean you have scouting talent for you? We can't have that. Salary cap on the coach is ruining everything.
Well,
the Chris Jones rule. Well, was, that rule will be gone soon.
It was
enough.
Pretty good television here on Monday when Craig Smith sat in that chair and the commissioner was on that video wall and Craig goes, "How about your new salary cap for football operations? I'm out of a job because of it."
It's a Rough Rider rule. It's a Jones rule. You know, we had more money and we employed more scouts. I don't know how that works. I mean, you give a guy a t-shirt and a hat and now he's your employee. He's not your friend that you gave a hat to.
You should be able to work for free if you want to work for free. Well, and that's been shut down by the CFL.
Well, I see some baller gift certificates that you're going to give me, but I mean, I'm here right. for free. You know, that's because that's what...
Because you love it.
It's what you should do.
Just one more. Wayne in Victoria this morning says, "I'm definitely not disappointed in Craig Dickinson as our head coach. I was just curious why Lapo wasn't allowed to interview." Well, that's why. His boss didn't want to let him do it. But I also say this because I said it to Lapo. I don't think you were going to get the job anyways, Lapo. Craig Dickinson was the guy all along. And I don't get the song and dance and the serenade, and we're gonna open this and have a competition. You knew who you wanted all along. I don't know why they do that, but that's the way they do
things. So going into 2013, someone comes knocking on the door in February, a week before the draft, but the free agency. A week before free agency in 2013, "Hey, we want to talk to Corey Chamberlain about being our king of the world over here in Montreal." No. We're about to go and like enter the most important season of our lives here, and you want to talk to our defensive coordinator? You know, the
our
greatest
head coach.
Office. Well, yeah,
don't inject logic here, Abu.
No. Yeah, I know. Let's take the logic out of it. Yeah, I can't believe they do. Everyone's against us. Everyone
actually,
hates us.
You made
There's
a
nobody
very,
else trying to do anything.
It took 90 minutes, but Abu has just made a lot of sense.
I make dollars.
We're going to take a break, and I'm very interested to talk to our next guest. It's the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Marshall Ferguson. We're going to the Hammer next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Thursday morning. I'm even got an extra spring in my step. I had mentioned that the SJHL president, Bill Chalobe, with us. I didn't realize he's going to be here in the bunker. I thought it was on video chat. Billy's here on the sponsor's couch, so we're looking forward to that chat. Mike Abel-Meshwick here. We're going out on the video chat this morning for him this afternoon to Hamilton, Ontario. The Hammer, the voice of the Ticats, Marshall Ferguson, joins us as they come off a bye week. Good morning, Marsh. How you doing, my friend?
Morning, Roddy. I'm good. I was trying to get my life in order this morning because I'm going to the Rockies for a week. I know you know how that is.
I know you're a real outdoorsy guy, and you always stay a little longer when you're going to Calgary with the Ticats. It's a recap or a rematch of the 98-99 Grey Cups out there, Stampeders and Ticats. Talk about your football team, man. Must be good times out there.
Yeah, it's fun. They're pretty happy with where they're at right now. I think Orlando Steinauer's kind of found a way to be able to keep them very much kind of understanding who they are and that the fact that the goal hasn't actually been accomplished yet. So that's something positive, I think, because they end up getting group together that is, you know, not challenged or not kind of working in a way that you feel like you can use it moving forward as motivation. Then I think that's when you run into some trouble. But the quarterback play, still there's lots to be desired, I think. Nobody would kind of make any side judgments about that. And then they bring in Tyrell Sutton. He's probably going to be the main running back this week. And you've got the defense evolving at all times and a couple of guys in Frankie Williams and Tunde Adeleke, who should be pretty fresh because they didn't play really on Labor Day because they both got ejected and then they had a bye week afterwards. So it's the fun of the CFL season, I think, is that we're getting to the point where some of the tendencies are being broken by the offenses and some of the evolutions of the rosters are kind of coming to fruition. And we're starting to get a sense who really has a chance to make a run at this thing come November.
Hey, Marshall, last week or the week before, the CFL came out with the probabilities of teams making to the Grey Cup. And I think Hamilton was something like 75% or 73%. The Riders didn't do too bad either in the West End, and some people are blaming that for the loss. Has that had a ripple effect in Hamilton? Are people planning the parade route or anything like that in the locker room?
No, it was funny because the people in Hamilton are insufferable when it comes to power rankings and probabilities. So every time that a number comes out that doesn't give them 100%, Mike, then everybody is angry about it. So I think it's one of those things where we look at it in the big picture and you say, what does it actually mean? Nothing. In the small picture, it gives people something to talk about. And I think that's why CFL.ca does that stuff. And so when I got a chance to be able to see those metrics come out, the first thing that I thought, because when you're going through it, right, you're kind of piecing it together. And I'm a guy who loves numbers, even though I suck at math. And so I end up piecing it together and I look at it and I said to myself, like, probability to win the East. Okay, it's just because the East kind of stinks between Toronto and Ottawa. Like, I watched that Toronto-Ottawa game this past week and it was awful to try and get through. And then you're going and you're like, okay, well, is Montreal for real? Well, they're good and they've done some really nice things. Are they for real by the time we get to the end of the season? I'm not really sure. And that's why I think the probabilities were high enough that it gave people kind of cause for excitement, I would say, more than anything else. But no, there hasn't really been any change in the tenor whatsoever, especially not around the team. But I would say even in the city of Hamilton, I think this is kind of a funny stretch because they go into this three-game stretch all against the West at Calgary, at Edmonton, at Winnipeg. They come home and they play Edmonton. Then it's a bye week, and then they play against Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto to finish the season. And by the time we get to week 21, God knows what the Argos are going to look like if they decide to pull the trigger on any major trades. And so right now, I think there's so much excitement in Hamilton for what could come when the weather gets really cold. But right now, it's kind of like that weird end of the regular season. The team isn't playing at home for a straight month between the bye week and then on the road for three straight weeks. And then you come home and you're playing a team from the West that may or may not have Trevor Harrison. So I feel like everybody, honestly, the sense I have for this city right now is It's kind of like, let's conserve our energy and hope that we have a reason to go absolutely insane in about a month and a half, 2 months, 2.5 months. So, but yeah, it's the probability stuff is funny because it comes out and you see it and you're like, what I actually wish they would do. And I was talking about this on my radio show in Hamilton is I would love if they would put out, you know how they put out like the win probabilities and then what they think the records are going to be. So, you know, Hamilton's supposed to finish 13-5, tied for the best record alongside the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And the Eskimos are supposed to be the crossover team and play Montreal in Montreal. I want them to post the scores of the games that are remaining and how they think we get to 13 wins. How do the BC Lions get the 5 wins? Like, I want to see the probability machine next level and be like, wow, really? BC upset Ottawa or vice versa? Or I just think that would be way more fun because then you'd really start getting people going, really? That game's going to turn out that way? Because that's, I think we look at the big picture. We don't look at the small stuff as much with those.
Two comments. One of our viewers, Sean, says he loves your CEBL gear. We're getting to be a lot of fans out here. That's Honey Badgers, your neck of the woods. Out here, we got a few teams. And our producer, Clark, wants to know what you paid for that haircut.
Oh, so I got these guys. I used to go to a place right down by McMaster, and it was called, what was it even called? I think it was Mike's Barber, which was like a campus barber kind of thing. And those guys are awesome. But then my girlfriend, who, Roddy, I know you bugged me about because I put her on my Instagram, so now you know it's official. But she ended up introducing me. She said, I want to take you to a place down by my work in downtown Hamilton. And I've kind of adapted to the Hamilton hipster comment. And so I decided, you know what? Yeah, I'll try something downtown. So, of course, I go in and everybody's got beards to here and hair that goes this tall and shaved down the side, super thin. I walk in, I'm like, I don't know if I can pull off any of this, but I'm going to give it a go. And plus they served a couple of beers when I was in there because they have a bar that's actually inside where the barbershop is, which I'm always for. So I ended up going in, having a good time, meeting a couple of guys that were awesome. And I met this guy, Kyle, who the first time he cut my hair, I was like, it's the best haircut I've ever had, Kyle. I really respect you, my man. So I ended up going for a second cut. And by the time I got to the second cut, I think between hair and beard, it came in at like $38, I want to say. Yeah, which is a little above my price range and my pay grade as a radio man. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to be shooting videos for CFL.ca throughout the playoffs. I might as well try to look half decent.
And the Rod Peterson Show. Just give him a few shout-outs on your morning show, and you'll be good. But here's the question that I have the most for you. 9-2, the Ticats. You'd have been 9-2 with Jeremiah Masoli. I can't imagine that you would have had any other record. So does Dane Evans deserve the credit for this? Or a system, and whomever put in this offensive system, or winning on defense, whatever it is, who gets the credit here?
It's a totally valid question because it's the same thing that I've been wondering about the Stampeders after Nick Arbuckle. Like, I grade out efficiency and accuracy and all these things on CFL.ca every week, and Nick Arbuckle right now has an accuracy grade for the season, not just for a small sample size of a game here and a game there, but like for the chunk of the year that he was the Stampeders starting quarterback, he was the most efficient and the most accurate quarterback in the CFL. Like, barely ahead of Trevor Harris, barely ahead of Cody Fajardo, barely ahead of even Masoli when he was fully healthy, Matt Nichols when Winnipeg got off to that great start. So when I saw his numbers and I realized, okay, Dickinson is just scheming easy throws for him and he's doing a very good job of taking what the defense is giving him. I've wondered that about Calgary, but for me, specifically with Hamilton, I think Dane Evans has done a really good job of evolving, but the better job of evolving has been Tommy Condell, the offensive coordinator, because when Jeremiah is in there, you don't have to scheme the creative run around, do whatever you want with your head cut off and throw off your back foot and see whether or not it works kind of plays, because Jeremiah is just going to do that. But what they've done with Dane is like surprise teams with quarterback run once in a while because you just don't expect it from them. Or you've seen the Tiger Cats mixing and matching where they've played with more tight ends or they've gone with a heavier run game in one game and then they've gone spread out completely and gone hurry up in other games. And so I feel like Tommy Condell has his pulse on what Dane Evans needs to do. And if anybody wants to watch Dane Evans and understand what he's really about and what he's capable of, because I've seen him in practice, but I keep telling people, including you guys, I think when I was in studio there with his first career start in Regina, where I was like, yeah, he's really good. And he has the capability to be excellent, I think, in this league because his skill set, like nobody knew Bo Levi was Bo Levi before Bo Levi got given the chance to become Bo Levi. You know what I mean? So for Dane, I see it and I want to see it. And I believe that it's there. But I just don't think he's reached that full potential yet. If you want to know what he's about, just go back and watch when he took on Baker Mayfield, when Oklahoma played Tulsa. It was Baker versus Dane, and it was in a regular season game in Norman, Oklahoma, in front of 90,000 crazy fans. and Dane Evans went toe-to-toe with the number one overall pick in the NFL. Like, that game, to me, I watched the entire thing, and the throws he makes, the tempo he plays with, he's got a lot of capability. He just hasn't necessarily reached that ceiling yet, which I don't think is a bad thing. I mean, at this point in the season, they're still figuring it out, working together. But I think the credit, a lot of it should go to Tommy Condell for figuring out, okay, what is this guy good at and how can I accentuate his strengths? And it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they're figuring it out as they go. And it's one of the few advantages, I really think, of the long grind of the CFL season, that you play these 18 games over 21 weeks. With the extra bye week in, you get that extra week to be able to figure yourself out down the stretch here, because since Dane's become the starter, they've got two bye weeks, whereas usually in the old schedule where it was 20 weeks, you'd only have one. Plus, because there are so many games, and because some of them are against the West, where it's not overly dependent whether or not you get the victories, because the East is kind of in control from the work you've done on the front end, I think what you're going to end up seeing is they're just going to try some stuff. They're going to put some stuff on film over the next two, three games, see whether or not it works. They're going to test what they can run, how efficient they can be, how dangerous they can be at other times. And then as we get closer to the playoffs, I think they'll refine and figure out, okay, what is our best approach? But Tommy Condell has done a great job piecing that together. And the defense, really, let's be realistic about it. You mentioned, Rod, they've held it together. Like, at times where Dane Evans has not produced, in Ottawa, for example, Dane Evans in the offense put up, I think, what was it, 4 points? Might have been 1 point. The score was 4-1 at halftime, whatever it was for either side, I forget. But and it was the defense that just looked at Ottawa's offense and was like, you guys are not doing anything creative. Your play calling's all over the place. You don't have a quarterback that can make throws on second down. So they've really been the stars of it. But I think Condell, in terms of who gets credit on the offensive side, he's figuring out how to treat and how to coach his quarterback. And that's huge, because there's a lot of guys, I think, in this league that would get a backup quarterback and be like, all right, let's write this thing off.
We got a minute left. Nelson, one of our faithful viewers, says, as the host of the CFL free agent, so hindsight, what's the best CFL free agent signing at the halfway mark? Give me a name.
I thought it was going to be Ryan Langford. I'm not even kidding. Like, when Ryan Langford got signed by Ottawa, I'm like, whoa, they got like touches that they need to spread around without Deontay Spencer or Ellingson or all the rest. So I got excited about him. I think honestly what it is right now is likely the tandem, if I can do that for Nelson, of Larry Dean and also of Don Unamba. I think when the Ticats lost those two, I know how good those guys were from seeing them. When they went out there to Edmonton together and they have experience playing together, I think that was massive for Edmonton to be able to get that, because regardless of their ability to throw the ball or, you know, finish the job in the score zone, I think the ability to be able to stop teams at any part of the field is so big for Edmonton, and I think those guys are a huge, huge part of it.
Marshall, love the visit. Thanks for fitting us in. Great haircut, by the way. And enjoy the Rockies.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Architect Hair Design.
Architect Hair Design. When in Hamilton, check him out. Thanks, Marsh.
Thanks, boys.
All right. And they probably miss you, Abu, in Hamilton, too. They really loved you there.
My hair.
I was there one night.
My hair is missing my head.
And they were throwing things at you.
Hey, Abu, if you're here, who's watching the Quickie Mart? Best trash talk from the crowd ever.
I actually had
to look up and give that guy a creative wave.
Hey, Abu Meshrick, who's watching the Quickie Mart if you're here?
Abu,
they
from
said
the
that.
From The Simpsons.
From The Simpsons.
From The Simpsons,
of course.
It's a Simpsons reference. Hilarious.
It's a Simpsons reference. Okay. Thanks for bringing in the bag of apples. Anything we should tell people about that?
I have an apple tree.
In your backyard, and you're giving apples to everybody.
Yes, Santa apples.
All right. Good. Thanks, Abu. You're the best. Next week, we've got the Canada West. We got a film breakdown with
breaking
you.
Breaking it down. X's and O's.
Special guest in the bunker next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday morning, episode number 72, on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Save thousands on this pre-owned 2018 Nissan Rogue. It's fully loaded and ready to move with an employee price of just $23,999 plus tax. Or check out this pre-owned 2018 Ford Edge Titanium All-Wheel Drive. Its employee price is only $27,999 plus tax. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Offers end September 30th.
You
locally owned and family operated. Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the overtime segment. I'm going to do a sports update here. Busy day across the NHL. Many teams report for training camp medicals and testing today, but several big names are missing. And that includes restricted free agents like Patrick Laine in Winnipeg, Mitch Marner in Toronto, and Brock Besser in Vancouver. But there is good news out of Manitoba. The Winnipeg Jets have agreed to terms with defenseman Josh Morrissey on an 8-year, $50 million deal. Blue Jays will look for a series sweep tonight. Toronto has won 2 in a row over the Boston Red Sox. Heading into the series finale tonight at Rogers Centre, Clay Buchholz is on the mound for Toronto. And week 2 of the NFL season kicks off tonight in Charlotte. It is the Carolina Panthers against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 6:20 on NBC. Sports update written by Connor the intern. Well, it's no secret. We're big junior hockey fans around here. The SJHL season, the curtain rises on it Friday night. The president of the league, Bill Chow, joins us here in the bunker this morning. And Billy, a happy new year to you.
Yes, likewise. We're getting off to a quick start here.
Yeah, no kidding. Did it sneak up on you?
No, it's something we have to prepare for all through summer. You know, we start preparing for the next season, probably starting January, February, you know, last year or January 19. Cause if we're not getting things ready and we're getting things organized, then we're caught behind the eight wheel and we just have to keep going all through summer and making sure we get things done right and kind of on time.
Well, last year was a special year, 50th anniversary.
Yes.
Darren and I were part of the league final. So much fun. Great series with Battleford's Melfort, maybe shorter than the league might've liked, 5 games, but yes. Whatever. What's special about year 51?
Well, I think we have a lot of things special because right now, depending on which way you want to look at it, all the teams are either in first place or last place.
Everybody's tied, right.
So, you know, I mean, it's an opportunity. And I mean, we've got 5 new coaches in the league or their first year around being full-time coaches in the league in total. So I think that's going to be exciting. We have some, you know, previous coaches that have, you know, some high-level experience. You know, sometimes that translates to a good coach, sometimes that doesn't. And I'm, you know, it is what it is. And hopefully the guys get off to a good
start. We're going to find out.
Right. And, you know, I mean, they've all been recruiting hard. You know, they brought in their players that think they're going to make themselves better and give themselves a chance at the Kanalta Cup.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff. So, which teams all have coaches? Do you got the 5? Do you know all 5?
So we have LaRange with Kevin Kaminsky.
Yeah, that's right.
We have Wayburn. Kindersley with Gary Childeholz. And then we have
Wayburn with
Wayburn
Rich Pilon.
With Rich Pilon. Yeah. And then, of course, Scott Barney. It's his first full year in Humboldt.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Kyle Adams. It's his first full,
ding, ding, ding,
full
ding,
year
ding.
In Melville.
The two first
Melville
full years. Humboldt. That's the ones that kind of was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Kind of threw you for a little.
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, they were here. But
yeah.
Now, you have some announcements that you'd like to talk about here. Quinn, the facility dog. We should talk about this. I thought this was a typo on your handwriting here.
Typo on my
I had no idea. You've got a trauma dog?
No, it's
what
called
is this?
A facility dog.
Okay.
So a facility dog is, and Quinn came, so we've got lots of time. So
yeah, you're good.
Actually, Sheldon Kennedy was involved in Quinn, the facility dog, becoming part of Northern Saskatchewan. There are no facility dogs, certified facility dogs, in Saskatchewan presented by Dogs with Wings. And they're an organization out of Edmonton, and they have over 200 dogs that are facility dogs. They help people with autism. They help people that are confined to wheelchairs, and they train all these dogs. And so Quinn is a 2-year-old lab retriever mix. And when Quinn goes to work, once he puts his vest on, he knows he's at work. Otherwise, with his vest off, he's an ordinary dog. So this is a great partnership that the SJHL has a wee small little piece of getting this going. First of all, it's the Saskatchewan Health Authority. We have the Gateway Regional Victim Services Unit, which is based out of Prince Albert. And then, of course, we have Capital GM involved. And we just have a group of people that are committed to this facility dog helping people, whether it's a victim of a crime or a young person that just is in distress or somebody that's dealing with trauma. And, you know, Jill is the handler, full-time handler of Quinn. And I think it's a great program because I just think it's going to help a lot of people. And two people that kind of really got this going is Bob Harriman, who's retired RCMP officer. And so the link with Bob is that he was the first officer on the scene at the Swift Current Bronco crash. His daughter was also involved with the Humboldt tragedy. And Bob was involved from, because he's kept close ties with some people from the Swift Current Broncos, and he's kept involved in that way. So Bob was part of it. Lagan Myers was the coordinator, Gateway North Regional Victim Services. She's on mat leave. And then a young lady by the name of Carol Whittle, who's now in charge of that unit, also instrumental in getting this all together. The folks at Capital GM, Kevin Gatchinay, Cindy Peterson, of course.
Beautiful lady. Involved.
Yes, beautiful. Way better than her counterpart.
Right. Well, no argument here.
And, you know, I mean, there was just so many people that collaborated to make this program work or get started in Saskatchewan. And so, you know, like I say, we have a wee small little piece of it. Bruce Axelson, the owner of Capital GM, who was one of the first people that got Melfort Mustangs going back almost 30 years ago.
Just ask him.
Yep. And, you know, he wants to give back to the communities in Saskatchewan, whether it's because of hockey or whether it's not. And for us, the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, you know, we're stepping outside of the hockey realm, right? We're just wanting to help people in the community, in our communities, in every community.
That's exciting, but you'll forgive me. The Facebook wall's going crazy because they have hockey questions.
Yeah, okay.
So let's get to the hockey questions.
Yep.
One, and it slipped off the screen already, but is the SJHL considering pay to play? You know that's becoming the rage in other junior leagues across the country. How would you answer that question, pay to play? And maybe explain it for people that don't know what it is.
Well, what pay to play is a team actually charging a player to come and play with them. And that can vary anywhere, that dollar amount, whatever that team decides. We do have a small pay-to-play model within a couple of our organizations, and what that is they are charging a billet fee. So they don't pay the whole billet fee, but they pay partial billet fee. And then for returning players on another organization, they're not charging those players that billet fee, but they are charging new billets and so, or new players. And so eventually it'll evolve where all the players are paying that billet fee. So it's something that's evolving. You know, a lot of Saskatchewan organizations are not in favor of it, but we also, you know, we want our organizations to be thrive and to thrive and stay financially viable. And so that's why.
Jamie, and Notre Dame says, can you ask what the reasoning for keeping the overage limit as it is was? What is your limit for overage 20-year-old players?
It's eight? It's eight 20-year-olds. Across Canada, the Hockey Canada rule is a maximum of nine. But in Saskatchewan, for the SJHL, it's eight. What's his whole question for the, why reason?
So did you talk about this at the league meetings and discuss changing it?
Well, we had a number of years ago, we had discussed bringing it down to six. There was a formula put in place, but we went down to eight, and then the coaches felt that, you know, to provide or give those 20-year-olds that opportunity to continue playing, because really there's not a lot of opportunities once you're past 21, unless you're going to school, whether it be CIS or down in the States or whatever the case may be. So there wasn't that opportunity. So we left it at eight. You know, we're comfortable there and we're playing within the rules of set out by Hockey Canada and the CJHL.
You know, it's funny, when I got involved with the SJHL a couple of years ago, and thank you for that, for bringing me in, I knew there was so many fans, you know, well, close to a million fans just in this province, obviously, right? And now here's all these questions are rolling in for you. I knew it's an untapped market, I guess, is my point for coverage. So Tyler writes in, and I don't know where Tyler is, but he says, Commish, Brooks, Alberta, Clark tells me. Tyler and Brooks says, Kamish, lots of other junior A leagues are seeing community-owned franchises run into financial problems and need private ownership to bail them out. Why have SJHL franchises been so stable with community ownership models? That's a great question.
Well, and I'm not being negative to other leagues that have community-owned teams, but when you realize the passion and the commitment that the volunteers have in our communities, it's above and beyond anything you could expect. The energy, the emotion that they have and their commitment to their teams. I mean, I haven't been involved with other teams and other leagues, but I don't think there's any team organization in any other province that could match the commitment and level of commitment from the people that volunteer day in and day out, whether it's a board member, whether it's the lady taking the ticket, whether it's a volunteer security person or whatever the case may be. But they have passion for their teams, all 12 of our teams. They're committed to making sure that they work, and that's what makes it work. And it's a lot of dedicated and committed people, and we can't thank them enough for their level of commitment and their passion for their teams.
That is an outstanding answer, and I don't know if you rehearsed that or not, or if you had to answer that before, but no. My point is, I just good. Think if the Surrey Eagles or the Richmond Sockeyes or the Calgary Canucks were about to go under, the city's not rallying to save them vis-a-vis a Weyburn Red Wings or a Flin Flon Bombers. The pride isn't there. Would you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But here... It seems to be.
It's what the face of the towns are.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to try and throw anybody else on the
bus will.
Here. But I mean, the thing is that you don't understand it until you're in those communities. And yeah. until you see that commitment from those volunteers day in and day out and game in and game out. And that's the long and the short of it. It's the Saskatchewan thing.
Yeah. Really is.
And it's awesome. Yeah. And we love it.
Yep.
Neil Gordon Ewan writes in, he says, how about an outdoor game piggybacking the WHL game, perhaps? How about it?
Perhaps. We're a little bit behind the eight ball because I think we're only, a month away from the...
5 weeks.
Outdoor game. So, I mean, I think we'd have to obviously have some commitment from the NHL and the Western Hockey League and things like that. So, you know, maybe next time. I'm not sure, but I just think we're a little bit behind the eight ball.
Just say,
at this point in time.
Stay tuned, and at least people are following closely.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They care.
They're interested.
Yeah.
No, that's
what you want.
I wouldn't want to say no, but I just think right now we're a little bit short on time to plan.
Yeah, no kidding. And you had a note here on Understand Us, Jim Demaray, and I know Jim. Understand Us is a mental health advocacy group. You guys partnered with them just last week. So important to you.
Well, I think with everything that's gone on over the last number of years, plus, you know, I think I always relate back. You always go back to your experiences, right? And my experiences are from the police business of 30 years. And so, you know, when you're dealing, whether it's a victim of a crime or whether it's somebody else or whether it's just somebody that needs a hand that, you know, for whatever reason are having that off day, bad day, and being able to support mental health. And I think, you know, I mean, we see all the talk on TV about how much it's become easier to talk about. I mean, you know, in policing world, I mean, there was no such thing as mental health back when I started. It was suck it up, buttercup, and get back at it, right? And I think, you know, obviously things have changed regardless of what vocabulary, what profession you're in, what vocale you're in. I think it's important to, you know, have somebody that you can reach out to, talk to, and maybe you don't have to talk about whatever is bothering you, but just somebody to talk about to maybe distract you. So being involved in a program like Understand Us, which again, you know, we're just happy to be able to help promote and facilitate and make people more aware, and that's what our involvement is.
I love it. Good stuff. Darren, anything else?
No, it was awesome.
For the president?
No, I'm excited to get going. I guess just quickly, the big one off the top is the showcase, right? And we were just talking about that before you came on the show. How exciting is that? We were part of the showcase, or I was part of the showcase, the January showcase in Regina. But the Warman showcase is always fun.
It is because, I mean, you know, and some people may or may not be aware, but I mean, that showcase there is, you know, everybody, each team plays two games, one home game, one away game. But those are regular season games. And so it's early in the year. Yeah, there's, you know, they may have the odd guy still trying to make the team, but I mean, those 2 points or those 4 points are going to mean a lot. And if you look at last year's, you know, end of the season, who had points, who didn't have points, those 4 points at that showcase are very important. Every 2 points are very important. So,
yeah,
it's a good, it's exciting, it's wonderful.
And it's your, and it's the way for fans to be able to see the entire league in one place and get excited for the season.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Bill, thanks for coming in. Always good seeing you. Good luck with the new season.
Thank you very much. Love having here. Love the studio. It's all great.
Yeah, it's fun, and can't wait to see you in the rink. I'll be out there in Notre Dame Sunday. Behind the mic for the Hounds home opener. Darren, I think this is your best show yet.
Just came in.
Just
one at bat.
Wait, wait. Is that your one for one?
It was so good, we went real overtime today.
Yeah, we went a little overtime today. Tomorrow, Football Friday, Justin Dunk in studio, right?
Yeah, he's
as
here.
Well as,
going to pick him up from the airport in like 2 hours.
John Frenzy as well. We'll get you ready for the Wheat Bowl, Rams, Huskies, and of course, the Riders and Alouettes. Thanks to our guests today, Marshall Ferguson, Kelly Rempel, Mike Abumeshwick, Bill Chow, of course, and be watching later on for our web exclusive with Georges Laroque, the NHL's most unlikely enforcer. We'll be posting that later on tonight.
And comedian.
And comedian. Hilarious. Very smart guy for a fighter. No offense to the fighters.
Most
and Damon
of them
Duval. Pardon me?
Most of them are.
Most of them are smart? Yeah, topic for another time. Damon Duval as well, the 13th man villain. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.